Welcome to the Dear Writer podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Ashley. We're two aspiring collaborative authors sharing our writing journey with you. The ups, the downs, and everything in between.
Whether you're just starting out or a more experienced writer, we hope that you'll find this podcast inspiring and thought-provoking. And here's the show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Dear Writer. Today we are recording episode 152, and it's another one of our author spotlight episodes. And today we have AK Nevermore with us today.
Hi.
Hello.
So AK Nevermore is an author based in New York. She writes a number of different genres, including science fiction, urban fantasy, paranormal romance, and paranormal erotica. Outside her writing life, AK is a Jane of all trades. I love that. As a homeschooling stay-at-home mum, her primary job is looking after her kids. However, AK is also a certified chef, restores antiques, and dabbles in beekeeping. Her resume includes belonging to the Authors Guild, being an RWA chapter board member, and volunteering for numerous committees. AK's goals are to write amazing books and to inspire her kids and others that just because you hear no, you don't have to listen. I love all of the hobbies, by the way. I've always wanted to get into beekeeping.
It is literally the only hobby that is more expensive is writing. So just be careful with that.
I was going to say, I don't know. I grew up riding horses and I feel like that would give anyone a run for their money in terms of cost. But
it could. I don't know much about
yes.
But man.
Some hobbies, you're like, they start off looking really like simple and you're like, yeah, I'll get into that. Like, sounds really fun. And then before you know it, you're like putting down like a whole heap of money and you're like, my God, how did this like get out of control so quickly?
Yeah, you wake up one morning and there's a stainless steel extractor in your basement and you're like, that what? Apparently.
That's amazing. So to begin these episodes, we like to sort of dial back the clock a bit and ask you about how you first got started writing and when you decided to pursue it more seriously and began thinking about getting your book published.
Right. So I've always wanted to be a writer. And that was like, you know, one of the things that I'd put down in school, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up type kind of thing. It was a lot more plausible than being a center fielder for the Boston Red Sox. That definitely never panned out. But writing did. So that was really fun. And I did a lot of it throughout high school. And then when I graduated, I went into culinary, but I still wrote a lot. And I got accepted into some really prestigious writing programs. I was asked to present, you know, to an editor at Tor asked for some of my stuff. And I never sent it in because life like happened. I ended up, you know, having kids and the family and all that kind of thing. And my priorities really shifted and changed for 20, 25, maybe more. I'm not going to give an actual number to that. It was afterwards. So this is kind of like my, you know, in romance, they have second chance romances. This is my second chance career type kind of thing. After a long hiatus, I'm coming back to it. And I got back into it because, well, number one, I wasn't changing diapers 24/7 anymore. But the other part of it was I actually had a wrist injury that I had to have some pretty extensive surgery for. And I needed to go into physical therapy, which I'm not really good at following directions. And, you know, going in and having to do all these exercises and things was really, yeah, I wasn't going to do that. But it seemed to me it was very similar moving my fingers like I was typing. So I actually ended up doing all of my rehab by writing 600,000 words just in one huge stretch.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was a lot, right? But I had nothing. I couldn't even lift a coffee cup, and it was with my right hand, and I'm right-handed. So it was, I was really at a deficit. I couldn't do much at all except for type. So that's what I did. And I finished with it and I was like, oh my gosh, I've got this huge pile of, I don't even know what, but I'm going to do something with it. So I started trying to, you know, do submissions and everything. And that went very, very poorly, like hundreds of rejections. It was just terrible. And I'm like, okay, well, obviously I'm doing something wrong. So I need to take some classes. So I ended up taking a bunch of classes. I did a year long, you know, mentorship for, you know, write your novel type kind of thing. And I went through it and I did all this stuff. And the final, what do you call it? You got a review from an editor at the end of that. And the feedback that I got back was that it was trash, which I was like so excited to hear because that's what everyone wants to hear after they spend 3 years trying to hone their craft and everything else. So I was really upset with that, obviously. And I basically stopped writing for like 6 months. And I was just in the depths of horrible depression. And the more I thought about it, the more like really pissed off I got. And I was looking back on all of the comments. And it was really funny because it was like, you need to write in first person. You need to write more like the Hunger Games. You need to write more like this, more like that. And it was totally the opposite of what I had written. And I was like, you know what? Fine. You want me to write something like this? I will write something like this. So I very much passive aggressively wrote a new novel. It was really quickly and it was really sarcastic. And it was just the most ridiculous, fun, incredible, like cathartic thing that I've ever done in my entire life. And around that same time, I was looking into associations because I'm like, it's obvious to me that you can't write in a bubble. You need to have people around you at this point, which I had been kind of like in a bubble other than, I don't know, just my writing partners. And so I started reaching out to associations, and the RWA actually had this program called RAMP. And it was put in your manuscript. If you're a member, you put in your manuscript and you have the opportunity to win, like, it was like a 9-month mentorship or something like that. That's free, where they will go through your book with you and they will help you get it ready for publication. And I was like, what the heck? So I tossed it in and I promptly forgot about it. And come to find out, I got accepted. Now, the cool thing with that was afterwards, it was like you ended up being able to miss the slush pile. And it was people were looking for people from this course to sign as clients if you're an agent or on to publishers and things like that. And at the end of the program, I actually got offers from publishers. And that was my first traditional publishing deal that I got from the book that I was like completely bitter when I wrote, but it was so fun. And I did it just like how I wanted to, instead of kind of following the norms, which put things in a completely different perspective for me. And I really am a big advocate now of writing what you want to read and writing, you know, what you want to see out there instead of what you're being told to do. So that was kind of how I got to that.
That's such a cool story. It's like a funny, like kind of full circle story, but like with such a great outcome at the end. I love it.
It was really weird. It was really, really weird. And it was like, it actually gets weirder, believe it or not. So I got that deal done and I was working on the second one. They picked that one up. It's not released yet. But meanwhile, I was still trying to get that first 600,000. Now it's in like 7 different tomes type kind of thing. You know, I'm still trying to get that out there. And I'm going, okay, well, I'm just going to self-publish it. You know, forget about everything else. I'm going to self-publish it because it's too big to fit under my bed at this point, and I really need to do something with it. So I went, and my friend, he was like, okay, you're going to think I'm crazy, but let's sign up for this erotic writing class. And I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, it'll be really fun. You know, worst case, we can just kind of giggle about things. And I'm like, all right, fine. So we'll do it. Whatever. It was like 20, 30 bucks. I don't even know. So we ended up signing up for it because there are some scenes in my other book that are, you know, they're not all the way erotic, but it's dark romance and you have to worry about, you know, being consensual and making things very clear and you don't want it to be skeevy at all. So I was like, this woman, at least maybe she can tell me if it's like sketchy or whatnot. So I ended up taking the class and I'm sending in my scenes and, you know, long story really short, she liked my scene so much that she recommended me to her publisher, which is how I ended up getting a 4-book contract to do paranormal erotica. So it was like the best 30 bucks I ever spent in my entire life for class.
It's funny how things like that work out. That's amazing though.
It was awesome after, I mean, I can't even tell you how many like rejections that I got. And it really is that whole, you know, if you don't hear yes, it doesn't mean no. It just means you need to find a different way to do it, I think.
What I think was quite impressive about that, like, is that you got so many rejections, and instead of, you know, like, I feel like a lot of people would kind of take that, and I mean, people do, you know, have rejections and then toughen their shell a bit, But I also feel like you looked at it like very objectively and was like, oh, okay, so I need to change something, which is actually quite self-aware, to be able to, admit that, oh, I maybe not might need a writing course. And so I can see how like that writing course, like editor's critique at the end of it would have pulled you down so much because you'd already gone through that self-awareness of I need like help in this. And then he's like, yeah, this is not good. That would have been like so hard to go through and to like come out of it the other side and still be successful, I think really speaks to your persistence. Yeah.
It was really difficult, and there's one very important piece to that that I didn't mention, is it was like after that 6 months where I was completely in the depths of despair and whatnot, I was like, I am going to send it to one more editor. And I made sure that it was someone who was very, very, very well versed in my genre. And I'm like, this is the genre, this is what I'm writing in. If he says it's crap, then it's crap. And that's, I just have to go in a different direction. And I had sent it out to him for a developmental edit, and I was expecting to have it come back like completely blood soaked with red ink and, just horribleness. And literally, he corrected about 3,000 commas, and the rest of it he loved. And I was like, I literally sent him an email to check. I'm like, I'm missing all the comments on this. And he's like, no, I thought it was great. If I was still an acquiring editor, I would love to have you on my list. This is a fantastic da 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 da. And yeah, it was a lot of persistence, but it was definitely just having that one person believe that it was good, who was in the industry, that knew, his rear end from his elbow, telling me that, no, don't give up, because this, you do have something. So that was important too. And I think that that kind of also was the impetus behind me joining so many freaking committees at this point. I have way too many committees, and I teach a lot of classes, and I do a lot of stuff, because it's like, I would very much, people try so hard, and this isn't an easy thing to do. And if, you just need one person to tell you that you're doing good, and not, I mean, not blowing sunshine up your rear or anything, but, just objectively telling you, yes, you should keep up with this, and you need, XYZ, work here, work here, work here, but you have something. It's so important to people, and it really only takes just like one person being kind.
Yeah.
So you obviously have a whole bunch of hobbies that we talked about in your introduction. I was just wondering, after the 600,000 words done during the rehab, how do you find time to write now that the rehab's over, and I assume you're back to juggling life and
Yeah.
writing and everything?
I will say that the bees did not survive COVID.
Oh no.
No, so they're not around. Someday I would like to get them back, but that's off my plate right now. So is the furniture refinishing and things like that. I love doing it, but I don't have any more walls or places in my home to put something. And I get up really early every morning before my kids are up. And that's the only way that I get work done, is literally being up at like 4:30, 5 o'clock, and typing until they're up and then ready to do school. So it's a lot, and it does take like I have to do it. It takes regimenting my time, but yeah, it is. It's a lot.
How early do you go to bed at night? Do you manage to get I'm wondering how many like hours of sleep you get.
My friends make fun of me because I am like in bed by 7:30, 8 o'clock every night. Like,
That's impressive.
my husband comes home from work, and he takes over the kids. So he's like, I'm with them in the morning, and he's like with them in the afternoon, and or the evening rather. And that's like the only way that it works.
Yeah, because I've tried getting up in the morning, but I can't. I need like a certain amount of hours of sleep. And so I was just curious as to like how early you that does sound like it would be doable, like if you're going to bed really early and then waking up at like 4, that would be survivable versus what I tried to do, which was not at
Yeah, it's,
least not for me.
I'm working first shift. He's taking the kids for second. It's kind of like what it is, but it's,
Passing ships with your husband. See you in the weekend sometime. And what is your writing process like? Are you a potter or a pantser or somewhere in between?
I am 100% a pantser. I literally, I sit down and I don't know what's going to come out until it comes out, which can be really exciting and you get some really weird stuff. But it definitely, it like lends itself to bizarre happenings. Like I fight with my characters, which is weird. It's weird. Like people, even other writers look at me and they're like, what are you talking about? But like currently I'm in a place where I have constraints with my publisher. Like they will only publish novellas, which is 50K. And what I want to write, it's going to go beyond that, especially if I have to have a happy ending at the end of it, because it's romance. So it's like I have an awesome idea and I know exactly what my characters want to do, but I'm not letting them do it. So they're like, well, fine, we're just not talking to you anymore. So it's been completely like I've got brakes on right now. I'm thinking, oh, I got to find something else cool for them to do, you know? And it's been a little bit difficult. But yeah, it's usually I will just sit down and I will just write. And I do write like linear. I don't jump around to scenes or anything. It's just, it goes straight through, basically. And I don't usually know how it's going to end till maybe about three quarters of the way through. And then I'm like, oh, that's how it happens. Okay, fine. That's great. And then I figure it out that way. So it's a surprise. It's always a surprise.
That does sound quite fun.
I feel like if, I mean, like our characters are not cooperative at the best of times, even with a plan. So I can see how you would have arguments with your characters being a pantser. And yeah, I'm just like trying to imagine a world where Ashley and I are pantsers. And I'm like, yeah, ours just would not work well.
I've tried to sit down and like, okay, this is going to happen, then this is going to happen, then this is going to happen, and then this is how it ends. And I'm like, oh my God, I know how it ends. That's so boring. I can't do it anymore. And I just completely, I lose any kind of excitement for the project. So yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It is. It's really, really weird. But that's not to say like I do, like if I, it's different with Mayhem that I'm doing right now because it's, I'm literally publishing a novella a month and it's just, it's there and it's gone and it's there and it's gone. And there's no chance to go back and like kind of like tweak and refine little things or leave little Easter eggs or breadcrumbs or whatever. So that's another thing that's really challenging with this series that I'm writing at right now. My other ones, I'll have a general idea like that 600,000 one where I just write and go through it. But then I'll go back and I'll be like, oh, but wait. And I get to put in, you know, X, Y, and Z. And I get to put in this and that. Or all of a sudden, this character, they seem nice, but they turn really evil here. So let's put, you know, these little nuggets to kind of, you know, foreshadow that kind of thing. So that's, I will do that. But yeah, I can't with Mayhem. So that's it, it makes it Mayhem, literally. It's craziness.
Do you find you have much like editing you have to do when you've done like mostly through pantsing? Like, is there lots to fix when you go back, or not so much?
There isn't, because I don't know how a lot of other people do it, but I do it the way that everyone says that you shouldn't do it, which is basically I reread everything that I've written up until that point before I start writing. Like with the bigger, like the bigger novels, that would be, you know, maybe I start everything from chapter five and then I go on to what I just read or whatever. I don't, you know, you can't do the whole thing. But with the novellas, I will go and I will reread it from top to wherever I ended. And I go through and I edit as I'm doing that. So by the time I get to the end, it's a pretty clean manuscript. I mean, there's like 2,000 commas that need to be changed, but other than that, it's a pretty clean manuscript. So.
That sounds like quite a good way of doing it. I tend to do sort of what you do and reread everything. Well, at least the chapter that I'm writing, which then, you know, does end up taking more time, I think, but it does. It always helps me get like back into the mindset. I don't know if I could just jump straight in without doing
That's,
that.
I think that's the big thing is it's like, especially I tend to write in very close third person. So it's like, unless I'm in that mindset, it just, it writes weird. And it's like, it's not, you can tell because it'll be very much one character here, but then you'll have more of your narrative voice over here and the two don't always mesh together and it's strange. So I think I need to be able to get into that.
Yeah, I also have that issue if I don't read the whole chapter, is that you know, I'll come back to it in a different like frame of mind, you know, stuff has been going on in my day, I'm in a different mood, and then like, you know, before you know it, like the chapter just has this really weird flow to it and doesn't mesh. So yeah, I also do that as well.
So we've talked in passing about some of your novels. So can you tell us a little bit more about your newest book, Darker?
Yeah, it's really fun. It's crazy. It is really crazy. It was one of those books where I'm writing it in the middle of it and I'm like, what? You want to do what? What's going to happen? You know, and my characters are like, yeah, this is what's going to happen. And I'm like, no, that's no. Really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just write it. Just write it and see. And I'm like, all right, fine. So you write it out and then you read it back and you're like, okay, that's completely insane. Whatever. All right. Next thing. So it's not predictable. I think that that's one of the big things about my books is that there's a lot of world building. There's a lot of unpredictability. And yeah, it is paranormal erotica, and it is an MC, so a motorcycle club. And it basically is where I have my main female character, and she's running for safety. And the only place that we can offer her that is the Maw of Mayhem. And she goes there, and come to find out, her fated mate is the vice president, and she wants nothing to do with him, and he wants nothing to do with her. But their inner cats are like, oh, yes, you do. So there's a lot of tension in that. And in the first book, Grimdark, it's basically, that's like their meet cute book. And then in this next one, it's kind of like a road trip from hell. So they're on the run from people wanting to kill them, and they have to get back home from where they were. And it's all the insane things that go on, and the crazy people that they're with, because there is a lot of just really, really strong personalities in this book. And the banter is I laugh when I write it, and then I go back and I laugh when I read it. So it's fun. It is.
It sounds it. Yeah. It definitely sounds like quite an eventful and exciting read.
It is. And there's a lot of sex. So, I mean, there's that too.
And I think we should also point out, so that is releasing, when this episode goes out, I think it will have released a couple of weeks prior to this episode airing. So it's available now if anyone wants to go and check that out.
Yep. Yeah, it's on Amazon. It's releasing on March 15th wide. Right now, you can actually get it through my publisher, Changeling. So yeah, it should be ready to go. And if I keep on the schedule and if they stop fighting with me, the next one will be out soon.
So are these part of your novellas?
Yes. Yeah, I am. They contracted me for four novellas, and Darker is the second of the four. I'm halfway through the third one, and then I'll have one more after that with them.
It's exciting.
It's fun.
I was just going to ask how you found writing novellas compared to writing full-length novels.
Oh, it's painful. I don't write short well. I don't. I struggle with it. I like writing my, you know, 120K dark science fiction. And that's my wheelhouse. That's what I like. That said, I'm having a lot of fun with these. You do have to keep them a lot tighter. And one of the things that is kind of frustrating to me is in the more expansive books, I like doing multiple point of view. And you really can't branch out in 50,000 words and expect to hold, you know, reader attention and things like that. So I will end up with these storylines where like there's another couple in there, Deuce and Triss, and it's like they need their moment. They need their moment. I have what's going on. I know what's going to happen. They need their moment. And what I've ended up doing is I write shorts. So it'll just be that scene. And then I'll publish them as bonuses for my readers where they can just download those for free and see what's going on. So it'll be like, in this last one that I did, the last scene, there's a ton of stuff that happens. So I've actually written it three different times with three different points of view. And each point of view gives you another insight as to, you know, the politics and what's going on and who's, you know, getting involved with who. And I think to give you some kind of insight, one of those points of views is titled The Missing Panties Mystery. So it's like kind of self-explanatory, but you can find out, you know, what happened to Triss's panties during that time and why they went missing.
That sounds very entertaining.
I hope so. I do. I do hope it's entertaining. It is to write, so.
I'm curious, sort of, when you made the switch from like romance to erotica. I mean, I guess, like, you know, they do have similar elements in terms of the genres. So maybe it wasn't like, maybe it was a natural kind of progression. But I'm curious as to like whether you found writing erotica like a bit harder, or whether you find it harder to sell, or do you have any challenges with that genre not being as accepted in general, or?
So I never started out writing romance. And up until about maybe 2 years ago, if you suggested that my books were romance, we were going to have fighting words. Because I always had this vision of like romance is, you know, the old Harlequins with Fabio and his beautiful flowing hair and the bodice kind of thing. You know that you're like your aunt kept underneath her bed type kind of. And it's like, I don't write that. Oh my gosh, no, I write serious books type kind of thing. And which is really kind of funny because I mean, romance is top grossing in, you know, all kinds of categories, but people kind of don't take it seriously, whatever. But so up until a couple of years ago, I was like, no, I write sci-fi with romantic elements. Let's do that, whatever. And it was funny because I actually had a woman say to me at one point, and granted, she wrote literary. But she was like, you know, I absolutely adore the relationships in your books. You just have to get rid of the whole sci-fi thing. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's not going to happen. But it was really interesting that she said that because it's like that whole relationship thing was what kind of got me going with everything else. It's something that I did well that I kind of was like poo-pooing on. And it wasn't until I like really started to say, okay, maybe I write romance. Maybe. Just don't tell anyone, but maybe that's what I do. That, you know, my book started going places. And as far as it being more difficult than the erotica or whatever, I don't think that I mean, that honestly, writing scenes like that comes pretty easily to me. I don't know what that says about me, but it's not like difficult or whatever. I think that it's more difficult to think about people reading them than writing them. But once you kind of like get over that, it's not a huge deal. And I will say that my mom reads everything that I write. So I've got that going for me. I'm not disowned. My dad cannot ever, ever, ever read them, ever. But my mom's.
It's banned.
Yes, it is. And he knows that. He's like, is that another one of those books I can't read? Yes, Dad, it is. Stay away. But it's like, I think that really the difference between romance and erotica is it's a very funny line because everyone has a different version of what they think is too sexy or whatever you want to call
This
it.
is true. Yes.
I mean, like, my five chili peppers could be somebody else's three chili peppers, could be somebody else's Tuesday night. I mean, that's honestly what it's going to be. And so it's kind of one of those things where I think of erotica as being a story or a book where the plot revolves around the sexual happenings that's going on or the sexual awakenings that's going on. In romance, you can't take away a love story without killing your plot. Like your plot has to be dependent upon a love story. And I think with erotica, there is sometimes love in there, but it's not a requirement, but
That makes sense.
it's more that the plot is dependent upon the erotic relationship.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. I mean, don't quote me because somebody will tell me
No,
I'm
it, well, I
but
feel like that makes perfect sense. But no, I was just thinking as you were talking, it's actually quite interesting, like, sort of what society kind of deems as okay and stuff. Like, in our books, we write a lot of violence. And it's strange in some ways that it's more accepted to write violence than erotica, like when you think about it.
You know, it is, and it's really funny. I had a discussion with my publisher for this last one where there's a dog in it, and at the end, something happens to the dog, and you don't know if the dog is dead or not. Okay. And it doesn't spell it out either way. And my my publisher's boss or my editor's boss was like, you cannot kill that dog. I'm like, I didn't kill the dog. She's like, you cannot kill the dog. And I'm just saying, it's like they just had a book released where someone is being like castrated literally on the page. That wasn't a problem. But if I killed a dog, then I would be banned, you know, from whatever. So
people get so attached to animals. So I can see. It's strange. I've heard it in say, writing.
Please don't kill the dog.
I've heard it in writing podcasts before that, like, you know, like if you have a character that's not so likable, mm-hmm. like put an animal that they love in there, and the then it'll make dog. Them more likable.
Yeah, pet the dog, so raise the cat, all those kind of things. Yeah, absolutely. And it was really weird to me as I'm like, you need to make it very clear that nothing has happened to this dog. Okay. I can do that, but it's like, it was very strange. It was very strange. And it is, it's like it's a weird society thing, because you can have all of this violence, you can have this, you can have that, but then you get into, you know, the whole sexual awakening.
People are just uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's a whole other kind of thing where people get freaked out on the other end of it. So
yep.
I don't know. I think dark romance is really, it's really on the rise, mafia romance and all that kind of stuff. And it's really exciting because it's like, it is maybe more of these taboo things and subjects, but at the same time, it opens up all these other avenues for creativity that I think is fantastic.
Okay, so I was just wondering what some of your biggest challenges have been so far.
All right. I think that my biggest kind of peeve or nitpick or annoyance would be just the whole gatekeeper thing. And I very much appreciate and recognize that editors and agents have shit jobs. They are inundated with people that, you know, maybe aren't ready to be submitting an R. They've got, you know, really tight deadlines. They have to do more with less. They are, from what I understand, really just looking right now to acquire what they know they can sell and not kind of going on a limb on things, which, you know, it's a business. I get it. I understand. However, that said, I also know that a lot of what I've read that's been traditionally published has been lackluster, really lackluster, and that all of the exciting and innovating things that I've seen have been coming out of indie presses or from self-published authors. So I think that that's kind of what is really frustrating, or was really frustrating to me, is just when I started this process out, I think that there's this misconception that if you want to do anything, if you want to be successful, if you want to be considered a real writer, you have to have an agent and you have to be in the big five. And this is what you do. And this is what your career path has to be. And I don't find that to be true. And I think that there's also a lot of people out there that will very, very gladly take your money to help you do exactly that. And it is so frustrating, and it is so sharky, and it is really, really hard to kind of, you know, make your way in this business, especially when you don't know anyone and you don't know any better. And it is disheartening to me that there are probably multiple, many, many talented people out there that just are unable to get a foothold because of the structure and how things are. And with that said, I don't know a better way. I don't know how to change it. I just know that it really did not work well for me. And if I wasn't in the situation that I am, I would have given up a lot sooner, a lot sooner.
I think there's certainly something to be said that I think there becomes an idea of where the market is going and what things are going to sell, which is that is not necessarily true. And I think that's probably the hardest thing to navigate, is that, like, yes, they need to be able to sell the books to continue as a business and continue publishing, but the tricky part is working out, like, what ones they should really be taking a chance on, because that if they don't take any risks, then everyone's going to be publishing the exact same stuff and it's boring. So, you know, like, I think you're right, you know, like, the exciting stuff does come a bit from like indie authors and indie publishers, because that they have a bit more freedom in that way. But at the same time, like, I guess the big publishers need to have a keen eye, or a keener eye in some respects, and maybe need to be following not just the trends in the marketplace of the books, but the trends of what people are waking up to in the world. And I guess they do try to do that to a specific extent, but I don't know how hard they try to do that. But to me, it feels like everyone gets stuck on a topic and then they don't really go, oh, but what's actually going on with, because writing mirrors society to an extent, right? So
it does. I think it's difficult for traditional too, just because their process is so much longer than like a digital or an indie would be.
Yes, yes, this is true.
Where they've got a book and it's taking them, you know, 12 to 18 months to get it from start to finish. And that's after the person has written it. That's after it's been through acquisitions. That's after, you know, everything is signed and whatever. So I think because of that lag, that's maybe why things aren't as exciting and out there as they potentially could be. Whereas it's like, it's actually really, it's weird. And I've seen this from a very close perspective, where I have my traditional books, my urban fantasies, and that's taking, I put in the book, got the contract, whatever. And that was easily through everything, final galley. The galley was approved. I still don't have my date when that's going to come out. It's already been 9 months. And then maybe it'll be out by the end of this year. I don't know. I really, really hope so, but I'm not sure. Whereas I will write for my digital first publisher and I hand it to them. It's published a month later.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that much quicker. So I think that just because they're able to be so nimble is maybe why it is more exciting, because they can capitalize on those kinds of trends. Whereas traditional publishing just isn't built to do it that way.
Interesting. I mean, like, I understand why they can't, but at the same point, I'm like, and I'm pretty sure there's probably not any like major traditional publishers listening to this podcast, but if they ever do, then maybe that's something that needs to change with traditional publishing. We're in the age of, you know, with digital becoming bigger every day on the horizon, learning to speed things up is like something that ever is happening across the world in general. So for traditional publishing to survive, considering that there's been a lot of small houses that have had to close, I think that's something that it needs to work out how to do, is how to be faster.
Mm-hmm. Which is weird. Then you get into the whole thing where it's like, well, is things suffering because you're having, you know, we're like hamsters on wheels now and we're just kind of spitting things out, and how fast can you do content?
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
So kind of in the same realm of publishing, do you have any other projects on the horizon you'd like to talk about?
I do have my dark romance coming out in June, and that's my Price of Talent series. And I'm going to be doing that on a rapid release schedule. I have the first 5 books set and ready to go. So it's going to be like one book is going to be coming out every 6 to 8 weeks for the remainder of the year. And I am really, really excited.
It's gonna be a lot of work, but that's exciting. It's really cool.
It is. It's fun. I'm just trying to do everything. You know, got the digital, got the traditional. We're gonna throw in some self pub. What the heck?
I feel like that's the way to be. I feel like I've said this before on this podcast at some point, but like, ideally in my future, it was like, it would be really nice to be like a hybrid author, where you're like, you know, partly traditionally published, partly self-published, like multiple streams of income.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of those yet. but it is, it's nice as far as like the marketing and broadening your base, where you actually, it is a completely different thing to writing the book is one thing, but then actually having people read it is like a whole nother struggle. And getting noticed and getting your name out there and getting, you know, recognition as far as, yes, this is actually a real author type kind of thing, is really, really difficult. And that's something that I'm trying to focus on now, which is why I'm going with this, you know, kind of lamb blasting the market with all of my stuff this year and hoping that, you know, something will get picked up by someone and it'll be like, oh, wow, this doesn't suck. And other people will read it too. So that'd be fun. Yeah.
I love the "this doesn't suck" sentiment. I also feel the same way about stuff. Like, it doesn't need to be like a masterpiece. I just want people to be like, you know, it's enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Like, you should read this because it was, you know, I laughed at one point and it was funny and oh my God. And it's like, it is not the great American novel. Don't get me wrong. That's not what we're going for here. I just purely entertainment value, like laugh a couple times, you know, maybe a tear. I'm happy. So
yeah.
Is there anything that you would like to talk about that we haven't covered?
The only other thing that I just wanted to mention is that, you know, if your listeners are so inclined, I've got a lot of free downloads on my website. So if you wanted to check out what I do write, you can do it completely free of charge, whatever. Please let me know if I don't suck or not. but that website is just, it's aknevermore.com. And it would be awesome if you know, you guys would take a peek.
Amazing. So is that also the best place for people to find your books and get in touch with you?
It is. I'm basically AK Nevermore on all social media platforms that I ignore equally. So I'm not good. I mean, I've got a Facebook group that I pop into probably most commonly, but overall, yeah, I'm terrible at social media. It's not my friend. So
totally feel you on that one.
Yeah.
I get sucked into cat memes and then no work gets done. It's ridiculous.
My thing at the moment is like on my Facebook, I just get all these like Reddit stories of the "am I the asshole" thing. And like for some reason, they really draw me in and I've got to read the whole story even late, even though I'm like never going to comment on it. And then I read the comments just to see like what people have said.
The comments are always better than the actual story. I don't care like where you are. They are always better than what's going on.
This is
on.
True. Yeah. I get sucked in a lot with that. Anyways, I think we'll wrap this up now. Thank you so much for coming on the show and talking to us about your books. It's been really interesting. And I feel like the conversation has just, I don't know, I feel like it's just been very forward thinking about like how you can continue to develop your own writing and how everyone has their own voice and how that voice is interpreted is different for everyone. And that alone makes it so important to have your voice out there because we need fresh new things. Yeah.
That's totally true.
I really think that your story about how you got to where you are today is really relatable to a lot of people. And I think will offer other writers a bit of, you know, a bit of hope that, you know, if they're lost in the weeds of writing somewhere that, you know, someone else has managed to find their way and that maybe it's doable for them as well.
It is. It totally is. Just because you don't hear yes doesn't mean that, you know, it's a no. So keep going, keep trying, for real.
So if you'd like to be on an author spotlight section, just like AK has been, feel free to head on over to our website, lindersoncreations.com, and you can hover your mouse over the podcast tab and you'll find a drop down to be featured on Dear Writer.
And next time on Dear Writer, we have another one of our craft episodes, so tune in for that.
And if you'd like to know more about us or any of our writing projects, please head on over to our website or contact us on Facebook or Instagram under the handle Linderson Creation.
If you enjoy the show, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your podcatcher of choice. And we'll be back next week. Happy writing, everyone. Thank you.